This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. Next up on our Fix 18 content, we have a talk from Jennifer Walthall, who's got both an MD and an MPH. She was appointed as Secretary of the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration by Governor Eric J. Holcomb in January 2017. She is also a professor of clinical emergency medicine and pediatrics at Indiana University School of Medicine and continues to work clinically. Dr. Walthall is dedicated to building effective and efficient delivery of healthcare and social services and shares some of her work with us in her Fix 18 talk called Building Safety Nets and Baking Cupcakes.
My professional alter ego on Twitter is at ConfectionsMD. It is a nod to my mom, who is a retired home ec teacher and farmer's daughter. According to her, world happiness will be achieved if everyone has the opportunity for unlimited education and baked goods at all times. Also because of her, I came into adulthood with several really extraordinary skills. One, how to be poor. Two, how to sew. And three, how to bake. And it turns out these skills are highly translatable into the practice of emergency medicine and also come in very handy when taking care of the 1.5 million Hoosiers who rely on the things that my agency provides to meet their unmet needs. An example of this translatable skill occurred in January of 2017 when I started in the role of Health and Human Services Secretary for the state of Indiana. One of my first big meetings was with the executives of our four managed care companies and their actuarial teams. I was about to become the bad guy for the first time. Now, I've never been the bad guy before. I mean, who doesn't like a pediatrician? But suddenly there was money on the line, and that changes the game. I remember waking up in the middle of the night drenched in sweat, and I couldn't figure it out. I knew my stuff. I knew I was right. But I didn't want to be the bad guy. And so I remembered an important day from my past, my very first day as faculty in our pediatric emergency department. I baked 3 dozen chocolate hazelnut cupcakes. They were made with home-ground hazelnut flour and covered with a thick, dark chocolate ganache icing. And on the top of the container, it said, "To my awesome ED nurses, I'm new here. Please don't kill me. Love, Jen." And so with this in mind, I walked into this meeting, this time bearing 3 dozen carrot cupcakes. And I watched as the executives in delight kind of dove into that thick cream cheese frosting. And I said, "Sirs, just wanted to let you know these are the only carrots you're going to get today. The rest of the meeting is the stick." I've lived my whole life with the desire to both see needs as they present themselves and then act with a blend of evidence and compassion. So this has made for a very weird career path, kind of full of these Don Quixote endeavors to build safety nets for people that had unmet needs, despite sometimes some relatively austere circumstances, whether political, fiscal, or even personal. Teddy Roosevelt's quote, "To do what you can with what you have where you are," became my mantra right after residency when I vowed to keep my head up and look around and figure out how the patients that were in front of me could inform something bigger. I just wanted to do something. And I didn't really know what that was, but while I was figuring it out, I got better at baking. And so I decided that while I was waiting to figure out how to fill the void in people's souls, I would, in the meantime, fill their tummies. So lavender vanilla, apple spice with a toasted brown sugar frosting, jelly-filled sea salt dark chocolate caramel. And I fed my own soul in the meantime, but really before we get to that, let me share the fundamental question that in the retrospect I should have asked myself then and really is absolutely important to what I want to ask you today. Where do you want to be? inside or outside? There is an inherent dichotomy to this question. It's the tension of or. It's a question for all of us who feel a moral imperative to do something. Do you want to be inside the system to make change or on the outside where your voice can be purely your own? I liked my outside voice. And so, without much thought, I started on the outside. And my timeline, as in much and what we've heard today, really shaped much of that. This is teenager Jen on our family farm just outside of Wichita, Kansas. We spent our summers there as kids, helping with harvest and other farm-related labors, and I absolutely loved it there for lots of reasons. But most of all, I loved it because I could see the result of my labors at the end of every day. And I knew that it was work that mattered. And I usually would sing out on the tractor at the top of my lungs, which resulted in dirt between all of my teeth. And my cousins made a lot of fun of me, but I didn't care because, again, that work mattered. What we were doing was producing things that people needed. Our family farm is called Hungry Hill because we don't make any money as farmers, so we're poor and we're hungry. But we produce things, and our family is really proud of that. Now, my call to medicine was an extension of that early farming desire to do work that mattered. I didn't have anyone in my family in medicine, so when I got to undergrad, I went to night school so that I could work in one of the inner city NICUs. I really wanted to get a taste of what medicine was like before I really dove into it. And it was there that the world of urban poverty really captured my heart. I took care of a baby of a 19-year-old black woman. She delivered him at home in a toilet. And he died. And I was 19 too. And I looked at her and I looked at myself and I thought, what is the difference between us? How can I do something? And I didn't realize it then, but it was in my heart the concept that the social context of people was even more powerful than the medicine that I wanted to learn, was really going to drive what my life looked like in the future. And so I became an outsider advocate. I found a home in academic medicine to be a voice for the voiceless. I went back to school after residency to get my master's in public health, and I found my outside voice in at Confections MD, building safety nets and baking cupcakes. And then something happened. The universe asked the question again, inside or outside? I got the call while sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire waiting for AAA, and the phone rang. I thought it was AAA, and so I answered, "How much longer?" It was not AAA. It was the chief of staff for then Governor Mike Pence, telling me that I had been pre-vetted on a short list to have a leadership role in our State Department of Health, asking me if I would consider applying for and interviewing for the job of Deputy Health Commissioner. Do what you can with what you have, where you are, echoed in my brain, and just like that, I became part of the machine. My dad said, honey, you know when you go to work for the government, they'll forget your name and they'll just call you the state. I said, Dad, that's ridiculous, I'm still me. And this is how that went. In April of 2015, the highlight of my personal and professional career occurred on the side of Main Street in a small town in Indiana. There was an unprecedented HIV outbreak in southern Indiana, and as Deputy Health Commissioner, I was in charge of the medical response. We set up a one-stop shop that served the multiple needs of the community in one place. It was there that I had the opportunity to exchange the first legal syringe in the state of Indiana. The recipient and I cried and hugged. And I knew that in that moment, it was a moment of hope. Now, it turns out that not everyone had read the emergency declaration, and so they tried to take me to jail. But I assured them that I was the state. And it was fine. So I took my boys with me for the first community cleanup. We had to teach the folks in the town during those early days how to pick up used syringes safely. They were everywhere. And the boys walked around with me, and I talked to them about how we have to meet people's needs where they are, no matter how hard it might seem in front of us. And by the end of that day, I knew that we were going to be able to make it work, even from the inside. And then something clicked. It's okay to embrace the dichotomy. The tension of or is resolved in the power of and. Part of the success of that HIV response was the implementation of a unique tool called the Healthy Indiana Plan. We call it affectionately HIP in Indiana. It's Indiana's version of Medicaid expansion. We were able to actually launch it a week early for our HIV response, and we signed up nearly the entire town for new health insurance with this program. When our new governor came in, I was given the opportunity to shepherd this amazing program and moved from our state health department to now overseeing a $15 billion budget of Medicaid and other social services. I am officially the bad guy every day. So the Daily Student at a small college on the East Coast said that I was trying to kill people, and it got picked up by the national press, so I did what I do. I baked a lot of cupcakes. And I looked around to see that fragile safety net that surrounded us, and I tried to find ways to sew it back together, just like my mom sewed my clothes when I was a kid, and I sew people's tissues back together in the ER. Amazing things started to happen, because when you do what you can with what you have where you are more than you. You are and. And that and is really far-reaching. What if social services programs had public health outcomes as their metrics? What if the fiscal responsibility that we embrace in the Healthy Indiana Plan and patient-centered advocacy were not at odds with each other? We renewed HIP this spring to reflect the needs of Hoosiers. It now includes comprehensive services for substance use disorder with things that I would have never thought possible. Reimbursement for peer recovery coaches. Coverage of all forms of medication-assisted treatment, echo training for rural docs wanting to treat hepatitis C, and much, much more. It is the manifestation of and. My friend and colleague runs a just-in-time treatment referral program out of our county hospital ED and relies on HIP for her patients. She says HIP is more than about paying for visits and medicine. It's about giving folks a chance to access a community of people who care for and about them. I have so many patients whose HIP is the thread that holds together those challenging early weeks in recovery, even as they stumble through relapse. When housing falls through or a job prospect disappears, HIP allows people to stay connected to positive, consistent, motivational influences instead of descending back into active use. For some, it's the only bright light of hope in an otherwise desperate situation. Our governor said to the HIP team the day after our waiver approval that this is how Indiana gets things done, together with heart. His note is how all of my written exchanges with the boss start and end, in caps, doc, and gov. He says in his note, and lives are being positively transformed. The inherent dichotomy of a state with a balanced budget, a healthy reserve, and over 400,000 new insured lives shouldn't be lost. He also likes my cupcakes. HIP was a good start, but it's not enough. It's a play on words. It started as an insurance plan, but what if building a healthy Indiana was the plan? Did you know that despite every healthcare innovation of the last two decades, that we have not made a dent in food security since the recession? And did you also know that those with food insecurities have the best marker for being high-cost Medicaid patients? It's all connected. We cannot feed people's souls until we feed their tummies. We created the Healthy Opportunities Office to bring social determinants of health into healthcare. We started by asking 10 questions at the end of every Medicaid, SNAP, and TANF application on August 4th. Since that time, we've had over 40,000 responses. People need us. And now, for the first time in the state of Indiana, we know what they need and where they are. And we can build better safety nets. So what does this all have in common? Farms and dirty teeth, babies, syringe service programs, healthcare and health. It's love. Love is all about and. It looks away from or to say we are all in this together. It lets a state, whether red, blue, or purple, set up a pre-K program for low-income families. Remember mom, education, and food. It lets people reconnect with each other around things that matter. I love my 1.5 million person family. They make being the bad guy on the inside worth it every day. They challenge me to say and as much as possible. Yes, and I think you should join me. I don't want to do this by myself. And no one else is going to do it for us. So we got to step up. So I have some rules on how I've learned how to embrace the dichotomy, and they are simple but critical. Rule number one is this: influence happens when you show up. Jeff Sparing was my advisor in residency, and I would follow that guy off a cliff. When he left being our hospitalist team director and moved to the C-suite, I was so mad. I felt abandoned. But he told me that his wife had asked him this question: do you want to keep getting bossed around by the jerks, or do you just want to go be one of the jerks? And he realized that if he wanted to see some change, he was just going to have to go figure out how to be one of the jerks. So that leads to rule number two. After you successfully install yourself with the jerks, don't actually become one. Your inside voice must be as loud and as passionate as your outside voice. @ConfectionsMD is still my Twitter handle, despite the horror of our communications team. Remember what brought you to the table. Don't compromise that to stay at the table. Which leads us to rule number three. Not every possible battle is one that you have to win. Some battles you will lose. A few things are worth letting go, so choose them wisely in order to keep on fighting. These rules of compromise and battle are sometimes hard to figure out how to balance, but it's possible, and let me tell you how. When you choose a hill to die on and you don't die, choose another one. Keep choosing new ones. And finally, rule number four. Whatever it is that is your version of baking cupcakes, keep doing it. It is hard to love others when you don't feel loved yourself. And the best gift that you can give to those whose safety nets you're trying to preserve is to preserve your own ability to continue to be kind and warm and open, despite sometimes overwhelming odds and overwhelming despair. So back to our original question, inside or outside? Where will your voice be heard? Well, it's kind of like when I asked my dad, do you want apple or pumpkin cupcakes? His answer is yes. There is power in and. The inherent assumption is that you are an advocate or part of the machine. But embracing the dichotomy of being both allows us to find our way faster. It's how we do something. So, thanks for my mom to teaching me to bake. Thanks to my life in the ER for teaching me to love deeply. All of us, sometime, are going to need something. All of us always need someone. But when we decide that we can be something and someone, the safety net has no holes. Love, your friendly neighborhood bad guy. Here, have a cupcake.